From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The controversial president of the Philippines just gave his third annual State of the Nation address. And in it, Mr. Rodrigo Duterte dug his heels in on the deadly drug war his government has fought. Duterte mocked human rights advocates for targeting the extrajudicial killings that have cast an international spotlight on the Philippines. He said his concern wasn't human rights, it was human lives. The group Human Rights Watch released a statement offering some numbers for the horrors that Duterte has visited upon his country since his rule began in 2016. The group said, quote, more than 4,500 people have been killed in what the Philippine National Police calls lawful anti-drug operations, alleging the suspects fought back during raids, and thousands more have been killed by unidentified assailants throughout the country. The Philippines is an ally of the U.S., and under President Donald Trump, Duterte has enjoyed greater impunity. Trump visited the Philippines last year and said little to nothing about Duterte's bloody drug war. My guest is Aurora Victoria David. She is the Secretary General of the National Alliance of Filipino Concerns, or NAFCON. She's also the co-convener of the Malaya Movement. Welcome to the program, AV.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Sonali.
So first, what do you make of the overall tone of Duterte's State of the Nation address? There's been some media coverage saying, well, it was a lot shorter than normal, and this time he didn't, go off script and spew a lot of swear words, and he largely stuck to sort of main points. What's your overall impression?
Yeah, President Duterte did not really mention or, had no remorse about not fulfilling any of his electoral promises, and also has no acknowledgement of really the ongoing and even worsening economic crisis in the Philippines, the continuing corruption under his rule, the lack of sovereignty of the Philippines, the human rights violations that's happening under his rule, and also the really creeping dictatorship under Duterte. And, even though he did not go off his script, he did not have any curses, that's really not going to be a smokescreen for really what's happening in the Philippines. And that's, the poverty, the hunger, the fascism under his dictatorship.
Let's play an excerpt of his State of the Nation address. This is where he refers to the issue of the drug war.
Let me begin by putting it bluntly, the war against illegal drugs is far from over. But before the war resulted in the seizure of illegal drugs worth millions of pesos, today they run billions in peso value. I can only shudder at the harm that those drugs could have caused had they reached the streets of every province, city, municipality, barangay, and community throughout the country. If you think that I can be dissuaded from continuing this fight because of our demonstrations, your protests, which I find the way misdirected, then you got it all wrong.
And that's the Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte giving his State of the Nation address recently, saying, if you think I'm going to be dissuaded by your protests, then you are wrong. He also said that his concern was not human rights, but human lives. Aurora, AV, how critical is it for us to understand the depth of the devastation that the drug war has caused? I want to get to the economic issues, but this particular drug war has resulted in thousands, some even think more than 10,000 deaths in the last 3 years alone.
Yeah, actually, the numbers have risen to over 20,000 deaths over the drug war. And, with President Duterte's statements, it's really showing that he is not backing down with this drug war, even, saying that he's going to be even more relentless, and it's going to be even more chilling for the people. So, it's really important because what he says is that, caring for human rights, that we care for human rights and he cares for human lives, we should make him understand that those two things are not mutually exclusive. The fact that we care about human rights is because we care about human lives. with his drug war killing over 20,000 people, how many families have been dysfunctional? How many relationships have been ruined because of these killings? And the effects of this on children, on families, will be for a very, very long time. And that's very concerning. And for him to say that he will not be backing down from this drug war is very concerning.
It's amazing, though, when he says, I'm not concerned about human rights, I'm concerned about human lives. But it's human lives that his government is taking, right? And that doesn't even count the many that have been imprisoned.
Right. It's very baffling how the president of the Philippines understands human rights and human lives. And this is just really shows that, his military's approach, he's not backing down from his military's approach. He wants quick solutions. But as he even said, the drug war is not over. The problem of illegal drug is not over. So he even knows himself that this is not the solution, but then he just keeps pushing for it. And instead of really pushing for reforms, socioeconomic reforms that will solve the poverty in the Philippines.
In fact, he cited some numbers that suggested the value of the drugs being confiscated today runs much, much higher than the value being confiscated before. So clearly, his approach is not working. It seems to be making things worse. How is the issue of drug addiction, drugs trafficking, linked to the issue of poverty?
We always say that the problem of the drug war, of the drug addiction, is really a socioeconomic problem that, we have to address really the underlying poverty, the underlying lack of services for the poor. And also, in terms of drug war, there's really big corruption going on in the Philippines. So if you depend on the police, on the law enforcers for the solution, it's not going to work. Because even in the government itself, we can see, no big drug lords have been convicted. They remain to be free, doing their drug dealings. And even relatives of the president himself have been shown to be involved in the drug trade and in illegal drug dealings, and they have remained scot-free. And so the problem of drugs is really much in depth, in intricate with corruption and the poverty of the Philippines.
What were some of the issues that Duterte referred to on the economic front? Poverty has been a big problem in the Philippines. He has promised strong reforms that are pro-poor. He's even used language like he will leave no Filipino behind. What has he actually done over the past 3 years, and has it had any impact?
Yeah, actually, something that's been very controversial and has garnered a lot of opposition is his recent tax reform law called TRAIN. And what it's done is it's really just pushing the burden of taxes on the poor, on the common people. It has given tax cuts to corporations, but in terms of the poor, what's happened, its effect is that there's rising prices on basic goods like gas, sugar, and other goods that the poor buy. And so it's a tax burden to the poor instead of a tax cut for the corporations. And even though President Duterte said that, he will have cash transfer for the poor, the cash transfer will only be until 2020, but the effects of the rising prices will be ongoing. And actually, the benefits have only been for 40% of the people that he said will benefit it.
So in order to raise the cash revenues needed to combat poverty, the tax burden is on the poor.
Yes, exactly. It's been on the poor. And this money that is being collected from this tax reform is actually for infrastructure projects that will, again, be funneled into corruption, into development, so-called development projects that will only go to the pockets of politicians, as opposed to really real development in the countryside, in the poor barangays.
Sounds like he's taking a page out of the U.S.'s book. This is what he said during his State of the Nation address. He said, some have incorrectly blamed our efforts toward a fairer tax system for all the price increases in the past months, and some irresponsibly suggesting to stop TRAIN's implementation. We cannot and should not. We need this for sustainable growth that leaves no Filipino behind. Now, I understand that there are still more tax reform packages that the Congress in the Philippines is looking to pass.
Yep, this is only one of the first tax reform laws that will be passed. And that's why even now, thousands of Filipinos are gathering signatures in the streets in the Philippines and even worldwide. We are opposing this tax reform law to show that, you know, you cannot pass the burden on the poor, that the corporations need to be taxed, that we are against rising prices of basic goods for the poor.
One of the stories that has recently cropped up in the news that highlights poverty in the Philippines is a Kuwaiti blogger's statements about her Filipino maid. A lot of expatriate Filipinos in the Gulf who emigrate there to take low-paying jobs, but still better paying than they would get in their own country. And of course, Kuwait, like many countries, including Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, has a large underclass of Filipino immigrants that work as housekeepers and nannies. And this particular Kuwaiti blogger, who is a well-known social media influencer, videotaped herself complaining about the fact that her Filipino maid gets to have a day off, gets to keep her passport with her, and she's facing severe backlash. What does this story signify about the concerns of those migrant workers? That is Duterte doing anything about their rights?
Right. Yeah. This situation just shows really, you know, the lack of understanding of the problem of forced migration in the Philippines, of why Filipinos actually leave the country in the first place. It also shows it's actually very similar even here in the U.S., where migrants like Filipino migrants are being discriminated for coming to this country, for looking for livelihood, for employment abroad because of the poverty in our home country. And there has been, for the U.S., actually, Duterte has mentioned before that he will not lift a finger to help deported Filipinos. And it just shows the neglect and the lack of understanding of why Filipinos leave the country in the first place, and that they are discriminated when they do go to the host countries where they're trying to look for work.
So he has basically dismissed migrant workers who leave the Philippines, but doesn't address the reasons why they leave in the first place.
Exactly. And, you know, in his SONA, in his State of the Nation address, he did mention OFWs or his Filipino workers and wanting a comfortable life for every Filipino. But he has not solved the problems of job contractualization in the Philippines, of land reform, of the human rights violations, of martial law. So he has not served really or addressed the root causes of why the Filipino people leave the country in the first place at the rate of 6,300 people every day.
I want to bring up the grassroots opposition that there is in both inside the Philippines and outside the Philippines against Duterte. There was a news report of thousands of Filipino women that had gathered outside Duterte's, where Duterte was giving a State of the Nation address. Tell us a little bit about what was taking place outside and what their concerns were.
Right. Yeah. The United People's SONA or United People's State of the Nation address is really a coming together of different people from all backgrounds, from different political beliefs, different religion, different professions, saying that, you know, we've had enough of what Duterte is doing, of the human rights violations, of the fascism, of his dictatorship, of his authoritarian rule. And one of the big reasons also of this coming together is his sexist, misogynist comments and actions and policies, which have caused also women to come out and say that, you know, enough, we will not be made as jokes of the president, that we will not be objectified, that we reserve respect and dignity. And this is why people have come together to speak out against the economic crisis in the Philippines, the lack of sovereignty, the sexist and misogynist comments of the president, and other dictatorial moves of the president to even change the constitution, to concentrate powers to him. And so this happened in the Philippines on Monday, the same day as the State of the Nation address of the president, and also all over the country. And in the U.S., there were 8 actions over the weekend also, and yesterday, Monday.
Right. Tell me a little bit about what happened here in the United States. You are part of the movement of overseas Filipinos that are attempting to hold Duterte accountable in Southern California, where our program was based. During the State of the Nation address, there were activists that convened in front of the embassy here.
Right. Yeah, there were 8 actions across the country, in LA being one, and there were one San Francisco, New York, Boston, Portland, Seattle, Chicago, Washington, D.C., so different cities across the country, different people coming together, not just Filipinos, but also supporters and allies who believe in human rights, who believe in freedom and democracy in the Philippines, saying that we will not take it any longer, that the Filipino people deserve justice, they deserve freedom, they deserve democracy, they don't deserve a president who has killed over 20,000 people in the drug war, who has put Mindanao in military rule, who has, you know, caused militarization of Lumad schools, of indigenous communities, who has, you know, been giving anti-women comments and jokes. And that's why people are coming together to say that it's enough, that we will not stand for this.
You mentioned Mindanao. Let's briefly talk about that. During his State of the Nation address, he promised to significantly increase the budget for Mindanao. Tell us a little bit about where Mindanao is and what it represents.
Right. Well, the president actually did win, the campaign, saying that, you know, I will make sure that the power is not just in Manila, but also distributed, you know, to Visayas, to Mindanao. And Mindanao, has very rich resources. And that's why also foreign corporations are there. But we also know recently that Mindanao was placed in martial law last year in the siege of Marawi. And, and even though the government itself has said that we have contained, you know, this so-called terrorism, they have continued to put the military rule in Mindanao up to the end of this year. And what this has caused is just ongoing and worsening human rights violations against the Moro people, against the indigenous people, against the Christians there. And it's because of the resources that Mindanao is rich in. Foreign corporations are there trying to have their logging, their mining plantations. And even in Marawi, who is being planned to rebuild Marawi? It's the it's actually Chinese investments who are there trying to rebuild that. And so it's really just for the rich trying to enrich themselves more.
How has Trump's presidency here in the United States emboldened Duterte? Duterte, of course, came to power in the Philippines before Trump was inaugurated here in the United States. And in the last part of his presidency, Barack Obama attempted to pay lip service to the international condemnation of what Duterte had been promising, even though the U.S. and the Philippines have been longtime allies. Under Trump, it seems as though, just as he sort of embraces other dictators, he seems to have an affinity for Mr. Duterte. And in a visit last year, there was just a lot of camaraderie between Trump and Duterte.
Yeah, this is something that Duterte, you know, has backtracked in his, also another campaign premise of his is an independent foreign policy. But as we see, is that he's continuing this subservient relationship between the Philippines and the U.S., where he welcomed Trump during the ASEAN conferences in the Philippines last November, sang for him and really showed that the relationship between the Philippines and the U.S. is one that is, is very subservient. He has not Duterte has not discontinued any unequal military agreements between the two, which means even this year there are over 300 military exercises between the U.S. troops and the Philippines in the Philippines. And this will just continue human rights violations under the armed forces of the Philippines that is being directed, funded by U.S. troops. And just a couple of days ago, the U.S. actually approved an additional $26 million for counterterrorism efforts in the Philippines.
Now, AV, seems as though Duterte, like Trump, is Teflon coated, that no matter what he seems to do, the most outrageous things he says and does seems to not have an impact on his ability to stay in power. I want to play one more clip from the State of the Nation address that he gave recently, where he quoted, of all people, Abraham Lincoln. Here is Duterte again.
In ending, may I quote, I have always quoted, but in my previous talks, one American that I salute, the great Abraham Lincoln. And I came across this statement which has been with me since I was a fiscal in the 70s. And he said, if I were to try to read, much less answer all attacks made on me, this shop, the presidency, might as well be closed for any other business. I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep doing so until the end. If the end brings me out all right. What has been said against me won't amount to anything. But if the end brings me out wrong, 10 angels of God swearing that as I was right would make no difference.
And that is Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte in his State of the Nation address. We played a video clip from a local media outlet in the Philippines of his of that clip where they had images of what looked like progress and innovation in the Philippines as he was quoting Abraham Lincoln, basically saying that if he stopped to address every criticism against him, he would have to close up shop for business. And that in the end, his impact, his work would redeem anything that he did. A.V., what is it going to take to counter Duterte's bloody reign, his attacks on the poor, his drug war-related killings?
Yeah, you know, his quote is very dismissive of the cries and the demands of the people whose families have been separated and have been, you know, who's lost lives in the drug war, the workers who have been demanding for regularization in their job, for job security, for Filipinos whose families have been separated because of they have to leave the country because of poverty. And for us, it really will take the people coming together, a mass movement of different people from different backgrounds, as we've seen in the streets this past Monday in the Philippines and this past weekend here in the United States, coming together to really demand accountability from this president, you know, to show that we will stand only for justice, democracy, and freedom in the Philippines, for us to speak out, to share our stories, share the people's stories with our friends, our family, our different network, and to really build this movement that's united, that is strong, to hold this president accountable.
The street protests that took place during the State of the Nation address in the Philippines, is that something that typically has been happening often, or was that a rare occurrence? And how did the Philippines police respond? I mean, these are the same police that are helping to round up and murder and kill suspected drug users. Did they crack down violently against the protests, or have they sort of left them alone?
Yeah, if there's actually one achievement that we should thank the president for, is that the president has united so many different people across different political beliefs and different backgrounds in the Philippines. And what has happened this past Monday in the Philippines, in Manila, you know, is an accomplishment of unity of the people. And that is something that we are very proud of, that we will continue to forge, is that unity among different people to come together for freedom, democracy, and justice in the Philippines. As for the police, in preparation for the people's SONA, there were violence when people were traveling from different provinces to Manila. There were police violence against them, and we will, of course, hold that into account. But in the actual SONA, the protests of the Filipino people did remain peaceful. And, you know, that's what the activists are there for, is to speak out their demands and their grievances, and they remain peaceful.
And of course, the larger the protest, the more protected it is from police violence. And by the way, SONA is the State of the Nation address. A.V., thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
My guest has been Aurora Victoria David, Secretary General of the National Alliance of Filipino Concerns, or NAFCON. She's a co-convener of the Malaya Movement. We've been discussing Duterte's recent State of the Nation address in the Philippines. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes and our video channel on Vimeo.